the pastors here, and I have the privilege of introducing our speaker today, Rusty George. So we just did a big conference where we had 500 plus leaders, church leaders from around the country and actually around the world as well, converge here on our campus here in Savannah. And we do what's called the Next Level Conference, where we do a lot of teaching and different workshops. And Rusty's one of our main speakers. And we just had this amazing, powerful time where we're able to pour into these other ministries and other churches. And the teaching was just phenomenal. And Rusty has been in Southern California for 14 years, leading one of the fastest growing churches in America. It's a church very similar to ours in that it's a multi-site church. He's the author of several books. Here's the latest one right here that just came out. And it's just going to be a powerful time with Rusty today. So I want to show some compassion, Christian love. Let's hear it for Rusty George. Right there.
All right. Hey, well, it's a thrill to be back with you all. I was here this summer. And my family and I had just a wonderful time out here. We love Savannah and loved being here and really looking forward to our time together today, and already had a great time with the leadership conference and everything. And I just got to say this. I just love your senior pastor. Pastor Cam is just fantastic. He is so encouraging to me, as such a good friend and such a support in my life and such a positive person. Just love being around him. He is just fantastic. And I know you know that, but I just felt I needed to say that, and Cam asked me to. So I think that was all he asked me to say, but okay. No, seriously, he's just fantastic. And so any chance to hang out with him, any chance to be at Compassion is a thrill for me. So it's been great to be here. And I'm looking forward to our time today, because we get to wrap up this series that you've been in over the past several weeks called Dangerous Prayers. And whether you've ever been to church before or not, whether you consider yourself a Christ follower or not, you've all had moments in your life where you think, I need to pray. And sometimes it's prayers like, God, help me, you know, get through this day. Sometimes it's prayers like, God, help me to not fail this test. Sometimes it's prayers that are big and are dangerous. And we're talking about some specific dangerous prayers that aren't dangerous in the fact that, you know, you might lose your life or something like that, but rather that will take you on the adventure of your life. And we've talked about prayers like, search me and test me and know me, God. But today we're going to talk about this prayer of, lead me. God, lead me to do something that's bigger than me, something that you want to do in my life. And all of us would love to think that there's some point in our life where we feel like we are being led by God. Now, you've heard people say that before, but have you ever really experienced that before? I heard this story about this pastor by the name of Joel Morgan, who had that experience in his life. He was a pastor, and he was headed over to Romania to visit some missionaries that had been over there for about a couple of years, and they'd kind of felt like they'd been a little forgotten about, you know, people just get busy with life and everything. And so he thought he'd go over there, spend a few weeks with them and encourage them and just kind of celebrate what they're doing. And so before he left, he decided to go to the grocery store to pick up any last-minute items before he took his trip. And on the way into the grocery store, he just said a quick little prayer, God, lead me to anything you want me to take specifically for this missionary family that's over there. And so he started walking down the aisles with his grocery cart, and for some reason, he just felt drawn towards Reese's peanut butter cups. How many else have felt drawn to Reese's peanut butter cups? Okay, I don't know if it was God or not, but in his case, he felt it was God, and he found one of those big king-size Reese's peanut butter cups with the huge cups in it. And so he grabbed that, threw it in the cart. He thought, I don't know if that's God, but I like them, so I'm going to get them. So he kept walking and kept walking. Then he found himself in the fruit aisle, and just specifically the canned fruit, and specifically the canned fruit cocktail. For some reason, it wasn't glowing or anything, but something about it just made him think, I think I'm supposed to take one of those. So he grabbed, you know, a kind of container of several of those, put it in the cart. Then he kept going, and he stopped and noticed something he'd never noticed before, but it was all the different flavors of pudding that you can buy. They actually had tapioca pudding in the individual canisters, you know, the little cups there. He'd never noticed that they even did that with tapioca pudding. And for some reason, that was kind of like leaping off the shelf at him. So he thought, all right, what do I got to lose? So he picked that up, threw it in the cart. He grabbed some hard candy and some gum and all that and headed out. And he bought the stuff and thought, okay, well, we'll just see what God does. So he gets over to Romania and he's spending time with the missionary and his family, his wife and two daughters, and they're just talking about life and all that's gone on. And all the kids from the area start coming in. And so he decides this is a great chance to give some gifts away. And so he says, God, just do your work here. Lead me, however you want to do it. So he pulls out this bag and he reaches in and he pulls out this huge bag of hard candy and he starts passing it out to all the little kids and they're all excited about it. And then he looks at the missionary family and he says, let me just ask you, is there anything that you really long for, that you miss from your time back in the States and you haven't had in a long time and you just really wish you had? Just, let's just see what happens here. And he looked at the girls and asked them, what do you think? And these two girls looked at him and said, oh, it's something we love, but we haven't found over here. And he goes, what is it? I said, oh, it's Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Wow. So he reaches in the bag, pulls out Reese's peanut butter cups. They start crying. He starts crying. Everybody's crying, you know. It's like Oprah's there, you know. And he hands these out, and they love it and all that. And he thinks, well, you know, one for one. Let's see what happens. So he looks at the wife, and he says, what about you, man? What is it you miss? And she said, well, we don't get a lot of fruit around here, and I always love fruit cocktail. He said, oh, you got to be kidding me. So he pulls that out of the bag, you know, and hands it over to her. And now she's just an emotional mess, and so is he, and they're all drying their eyes. This is great. And he's thinking, I should probably stop right here, but let's see what happens. And he looks to the father, and he goes, what about you, sir? He goes, oh, no, 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 don't worry about me. He goes, no, tell me, what is it? And he goes, what I love, I've never found anywhere, and I don't even know if it exists in a fashion you could bring. And he goes, well, what is it? And he goes, tapioca pudding. He goes, oh, it just so happens. He pulls it out of the bag and hands it to him, and now everybody's crying, you know. It's just this amazing moment of seeing how God had led him to these items to give them to this family to encourage them. Now, here's what's stunning about that to me. If I go into a store and I walk out with Reese's peanut butter cups, some fruit cocktail, and tapioca pudding and hard candy, you know what? I'm just walking out with diabetes. That's all I'm getting there, you know. And yet this guy walks out with an answered prayer from God. I mean, wouldn't you love to be led by God that way? Wouldn't you love to know that God is leading you in such a fashion that it impacts people's lives, both around you and people you haven't even met or don't even know their stories yet? But for most of us, we just feel like we're not getting through to God. We've asked, but nothing's happened. We, you know, dialed up, but it doesn't seem like he's answering. And we just don't feel like our prayers get past the ceiling. Last summer when we were here as a family, we went to Mrs. Wilkes. Everybody said, go to Mrs. Wilkes. Okay, so we go there. Friends, that is a spiritual experience. Okay, let me just tell you. And so we pull up in the rental car, and I see the line is already out the door, you know, waiting for the next serving. And so I let my wife and my two daughters out, and they went and got in line. And so I drove the rental car around the block and parked wherever I could. And then I walked up and stood in line for a while and waited. We all went inside and ate, and it was wonderful, you know. When we came out, it was raining. Now, that's kind of a normal thing for it to rain once in a while here, but we live in California now. And when it rains for longer than 20 minutes, we're building an ark, okay? Because it's scary for us. What is this, right? And so we haven't seen rain in a long time. And so I said to the girls, you all just stay here. I'm going to go get the car, and then I'll pull it up and pick you up. Well, my daughters look at me and said, Dad, we never see rain. We'd like to walk in the rain with you. Hey, whatever. Okay, so they go with me. I look at my wife. I said, you want to go? She goes, I'm good. I'm going to stay right here. Okay, she's seen rain. So we go get in the car, and then we drive around the corner. We're coming up, and as we approach, we're across the street from my wife as I pull up in the car, and I'm looking at her, and she's not looking at us. She's looking down the street, and she's looking at a car that looks just like ours. And she's looking at it and going, she can't figure out why we're not pulling up to get her. And so we're standing there looking at her, and she keeps doing this. And my kids go, Dad, I think she, yeah, I know. Let's just watch this for a minute, okay? Am I right, guys? This is what, you know, let's just, and if somebody could film it, that'd be fantastic. So we're just watching her. She's just doing this, and she's getting more angry and animated as she goes, you know. And finally, I can't take it anymore. I roll down the window. I go, hey, looking for someone? And she just loses it. She's laughing. The girls are laughing at her, you know, and she comes and gets in the car. And I got to thinking about that in terms of how we deal with God. And boy, that is the way I feel like in my prayer life sometimes. Like I'm going, come on, God, come on. And he's over here going, we're going this way. But I'm just so focused on what I want him to do. I want to be led by God. But how do I do that? All of us want to know how to pray that dangerous prayer, lead me, but we're just not sure exactly where God wants us to go. Take a look at this passage. We've been walking through this entire series. David says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me. Lead me. There it is. Now think about that for a second. He's a shepherd. He doesn't say, lead me into a place where the sheep are safe. He's also a warrior. He doesn't say, lead me to victory. He doesn't say, lead me to deal with my kingdom well. He says, lead me in the path of everlasting life. In other words, God, you lead me wherever you want me to go. You see, I've learned in my life that when we pray a prayer to God and ask him for something, God always answers. It's just that his answers are either yes or no or wait. And unfortunately for many of us, if we don't get a yes, we just assume God isn't answering. And we don't really know how to listen to his voice. And some of you right now are praying some big prayers of, God, would you lead me in my relationship? Are we supposed to get married? What's supposed to happen here? And you're waiting and you're wondering, is God saying yes, no, or wait? Some of you are praying prayers about your career. God, am I supposed to change jobs? Am I supposed to change careers? What is it you want me to do? Would you lead me? And you're wondering, is God saying yes, no, or wait? Some of you students, you're getting ready to graduate from high school this year, and you're thinking about what's next? Am I going to take a gap year? Am I going to, you know, travel? Am I going to go to college? And you're waiting for God to say yes, no, or wait. Your parents are waiting for God to say, college, 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 and it's paid for. That's what your parents are waiting for. But you're waiting to figure out, how does God want to lead you? And here's the thing I've discovered about the way God leads, and that is this idea. The quickest way to know God's leading is to start doing what he already told you to do. The quickest way to learn what God's voice sounds like, what God's gentle nudges feel like, what it's like to walk down a grocery store aisle and notice Reese's peanut butter cups in a way you've never noticed them before, the quickest way to get to that level with God is to start doing what he already asked you to do. Let me give you a few examples. Paul tells us this one. Here's what God wants us to do. Give thanks. In all circumstances, not just when the plane's on time, not just when the weather's great, not just when your team wins, but in all circumstances. For this, look at that, is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. All of us want to know God's will. What's God's will for my life? What's God's will for my life? I'll tell you what it is. It's to give thanks in all circumstances. Can I give you a dangerous lead me prayer to pray? God, lead me to be thankful. Rather than all my complaints, rather than all my list of things that I want, rather than all the things I'm not comfortable with, God, lead me to be thankful. That's a dangerous prayer. Here's a second one. Jesus says this, I'm telling you, don't judge and you will not be judged. Don't condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. You know what a dangerous prayer is to pray? God, lead me to forgive who I need to forgive. And you may begin to start thinking about people you haven't thought about in years, but you recognize, I never forgave them. Lead me to forgive them, God. Lead me to that person I need to send an email to and say, I'm sorry. Lead me to that person I need to have a cup of coffee with and say, I apologize. Lead me to that person I need to let off the hook and say, you're forgiven. That's a dangerous prayer. And God has already told us to pray it. Here's one more. Jesus says this, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. This is said right after Jesus has washed all the disciples' feet and right before he's going to go be crucified. And he says, I want you to love each other the way that I have loved you. Not in a self-serving kind of way, not in a what's in it for me, not with strings attached, but unconditional love. A dangerous prayer for us to pray is, God, lead me to be more loving to whoever is in my life. And God will begin to bring people to your mind that you don't really want to be all that loving to. It's a dangerous prayer to pray. The quickest way to know where God is leading you to do is to start doing what he already told you to do. Now, I want to show you one of these prayers, one of these things that God has told all of us to do, but most of us overlook or we assume it's somebody else's job. But I'm just telling you, if you begin to pray this dangerous lead me kind of prayer, it will take you on the ride of your life. This is what Jesus says to not only his disciples, but to all of us right before he ascends back to heaven. He says, I want you to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. He says, I want you to go and tell everybody about me. I want you to help connect people to me. And unfortunately for most of us, when it comes to lead me prayers, what do we want? God, lead me to a spouse, lead me to a job, lead me to make more money, lead me to a better house or a better car. Jesus says, I want to lead you to people that don't know me. And typically we just assume this is the pastor's job. And Jesus says, this is for everybody. So in the time we have remaining, what I want to do is I want to challenge you to think about this lead me prayer. And it's a dangerous prayer. And that is, God, would you lead me to people far from you? Lead me. About 15 years ago, I was still working at this church in Kentucky. And I realized that I was a Christian who worked with Christians, who lived with Christians, and I didn't know any non-Christians. How in the world could I live out God's teaching there, his call for our lives, if I didn't even know anybody far from him? And so I noticed this one guy on our staff, he just knew a lot of people that weren't following Jesus and was really good friends with them and had developed great relationships with them. And I just took him to lunch one day and I looked at him and I said, hey, what have you figured out? Because I'm not doing this well. And he said, all right, I'm going to give you a prayer to pray. I said, okay, hit me. He says, for the next 30 days, I want you to pray this prayer. God, will you give me your heart for people far from you? It's a prayer God will always say yes to. And so I did. It didn't take 30 days, though. By about day 3, I found myself wrecked for every person that I saw. The person that served me food, the person that served me my coffee, the person that I saw just across the gas station pumping gas while I was, people that would walk in front of my car as I was at a red light, I just began to get kind of like misty-eyed thinking about they might be facing a godless eternity. And God's heart is for them. And it began to break my heart. The quickest way to sense God's leading in your life is to start doing what he's already told you to do. So I decided, God, lead me to people far from you. And here's what it did. It led us to California because God called through a church and said, why don't you come out here and help us with this church? And I said, God, lead me to people far from you, but not in California, okay? I mean, the earthquakes and the fires and all that kind of stuff, and the whole thing's going to crack off the side of the United States and float out in the water. You know, I just can't do it, God. But I went, and we got there, and we said, all right, God, what's next? Lead us to people far from you. And I just want to teach you a couple of prayers that all of us can pray, and I want to show you how this comes about by looking at a guy in Scripture who was far from God and was far from Jesus and then became a follower of Jesus. And the nature of their relationship teaches us so much about a couple dangerous prayers that we can pray. This guy's name is Matthew. And if you find yourself, wherever you are, whatever location you're watching from, you know, kind of being a person that I'm not sure what I believe about Jesus, Matthew's your guy. Because he was just like that. And he was a guy that was kind of, you know, on the outcast list because he was, even though he was a Jewish citizen, because he was working for Rome, he was a tax collector. And he could take as many taxes that he wanted from all of his countrymen. And they knew it. And he robbed them because of that. And they hated him. And nobody talked to Matthew. But take a look at his interaction with Jesus. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew. And Matthew's telling us this, kind of talking in the third person. And he's sitting at the tax collector's booth. So he's out there in the public square collecting taxes from people as they come by. He can take as much as he wants. He gives a certain percentage to Rome. He keeps the rest. He's very wealthy. He's got everything he ever wants except friends. The only friends he has are other tax collectors. And everybody hates the tax collectors. And I don't mean hate them like you don't like the IRS. I mean hates them like these people are ruining my life. Like you would look at somebody who's selling drugs to kids. That kind of disgust is how they looked at tax collectors. But Jesus talks to him. And Jesus says, "Follow me." And this can't be the first time that Matthew has seen Jesus. Jesus has probably been walking around this area for some time now, teaching and talking to people and healing people. And Matthew's just watching this out of the corner of his eye, like, that guy's different. There's something unique about him. And so when Jesus turns and looks at him and says, "Follow me," Matthew gets right up and followed him. And what's fascinating about this is not only does Matthew leave his business behind and follow after Jesus, Jesus does not say, "Follow me," like, "get your act together and be good." Jesus does not say, "quit what you're doing and start going to church." Jesus says, "I care about you, and I want you to be with me and hang out with me on this journey we're going on." He includes him in his community. And so this is what Matthew does. Look what happens next. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, the very first thing they do is they don't go to church. They don't go to learn how to pray. Jesus doesn't put him through, you know, four courses of how to be a disciple. They go to a party at Matthew's house that Matthew throws. And friends, this is not a Sunday school party, because look who's there. Many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. The only friends Matthew has are tax collectors. And he says, "I'm going to throw a big party for all my friends so they can meet my new friend, Jesus." And Jesus is not there at that party walking around yelling at everybody, saying, "Hey, turn that down, stop that, quit that, use a coaster." You know, he's not doing any of that. Jesus is over there by the stereo with a plate of hot wings just hanging out with people, because that's who Jesus was. In fact, this phrase here, "ate with him," this is such a fascinating phrase in the original language, because if you look in the original language, they have several different terms they use for people eating together with other people. And Jesus eats with a lot of people, and Matthew will use all kinds of different phrases, but the phrase he uses for this situation is only used one other time in his gospel. You know when that is? The Last Supper. I think Matthew's trying to tell us something, and that is, as close as Jesus was to his closest friends the night before he died, is as close as he was to my friends at that party. Jesus is right there with them all. And it changes everything. Look what happens then. Well, now the church people are mad. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Look at him in there. Look at those people that are with him." And on hearing this, this is interesting to me. I mean, if you're going to say something derogatory about Jesus, do it far away, okay? Jesus hears this, and I got to imagine he's got pretty good hearing. Jesus said, "Hey guys, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." You see, what we see in this interaction between Matthew and his friends and his new friend in Jesus is exactly what God is leading all of us to do. He's just waiting for us to join him. Let me give you two prayers that will help you. They are so dangerous, but they will help you learn how to be led by God into reaching people far from him. Here's the first one. Lead me to show kindness. This is a prayer God will always say yes to. I know when I talk about you sharing your faith with somebody, or you inviting someone to church, or you talking about your relationship with God, you get nervous, your hands start to sweat, you think, what am I going to say? I don't know all the answers, I don't have all the information. What if they ask me questions like, what about dinosaurs and evolution, and did Adam and Eve have belly buttons, and the big things we wrestle with, right? Let me just tell you, you don't have to have all the facts. You don't have to have all the information, because helping people find Jesus starts with doing it in the spirit of Jesus. And all Jesus does is hang out with people. It starts by saying, God, lead me to be kind. And who do you want me to be kind to? Now, I know there are some of us that push back and go, wait a second. We got to tell people about their sin and how they're destined for hell and all. Hang on, we'll get there, but just remember this. Look at this verse from Paul. Paul says, it's the kindness of God, back up, it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. In other words, when we are kind to other people, they get intrigued by this God that we serve. God, lead me to kindness. So my wife and I moved to California. We say, what are we going to do about this? Well, God, lead us to show kindness to our neighbors. Let's just start right there. And so we decided we would have a barbecue in the front yard. And we're both introverts, so we don't throw great parties, okay? If y'all want to come over to our house, sit on the couch in silence while you watch TV, that's a good night for us, okay? So we knew we had to do something to try to help this out. So we went to our life group, our small group, and we said, hey, we want to have a party and invite all of our neighbors. Would you all come and help us do this? Yeah, that'd be great. And they start thinking about what they're going to bring and everything. Say, okay, here's the date. Here's the time. We're going to meet. I print out these flyers. I take them. I put them on everybody's door. Come on out this particular day, a couple hours. Come and go as you please. Bring something to grill. Love to see you. Well, the life group shows up. I got the grill out in the front lawn. We're all just kind of hanging out. And I can see people looking out their window and kind of cracking out the door there and kind of wondering, who is this weirdo that's moved in, and wants to, get to know the neighbors. But then they see other people there, so they think, well, it can't be too bad. And so here they come. And they start coming out of their homes, and they're bringing their coolers, and they're bringing plates of meat to grill, and they come on over, and we start getting to know people and talking to people. And I get to meet Nick and Deanna, who live next door to us. I didn't even know their names, and now I do. We have a long conversation about who they are and how long they lived there and everything. And then we get to meet a couple named Steve and Aaron. They live down the street, and they have kids our kids' age. And we start talking to them and get to know them. And as a result, these friendships just begin to spring up. Nick and Deanna, they just started inviting us to come over and to hang out and to watch games together. And then apparently they like to sing karaoke, so they invited us out to this bar where we could hear them sing karaoke. I'm like, all right. And it was awful, and they were terrible, but yeah, we love you guys, good for you, You want to sing? No, I'm good, that's fine. But we're here to support you. And it was like suddenly we were part of their family now. Steve and Aaron, we just started hanging out with them. We'd take, road trips together, and Steve and I would go watch movies together sometimes, and the wives would walk and just have play dates with the kids, and we just start building these relationships. And over time, what began to happen was they started to get intrigued with who we were. And so one year before Easter, I walked over to Nick and Deanna's house, and I handed them a little invite card to our Easter service, and I said, hey, I don't know if you guys have plans for Easter, but if you're looking for a church, we'd love to have you. And I said, well, it's funny you say that. We were just talking. Should we go to church this summer or this year? We're not sure. I guess we'll come here. And they came. Steve and Aaron were a little bit different because Steve claimed to be an atheist. But Aaron was interested, and so she started coming to church. And so we started praying with our kids every night for not only Nick and Deanna and Aaron, but for Steve, because he's never been to church before. And every night with my girls, we'd pray. Pray for Steve, pray for Steve. Well, one Sunday, while I was up teaching, I look out, and I see my wife, and I see next to her is Aaron, because she'd been coming for a while, and next to her is Steve. And I'm kind of having this weird out-of-body experience where I'm teaching, but I'm thinking, I can't believe you're here. And I'm just trying not to say that out loud, because That would be a little counterproductive, right? I can't believe you're here, you know? So afterwards, you know, I'm shaking hands as people leave, and I shake his hand, and it was so cool. And he says, hey, it was a lot of fun. I liked it, enjoyed it, you know, and he leaves. I go home that day. Here come my girls. They come running up to me, screaming and yelling, Dad, guess what? Guess what? I said, what's that? Steve was at church today. He was? Yes. They were so excited. And I knew at that moment something bigger than just Steve showing up to church had happened. My girls realized God says yes to prayers. And they began to see something amazing happen. Now, let me just tell you what's going to happen. You start praying this dangerous prayer of God, lead me to somebody far from you. Lead me to show kindness. One day they're going to look at you and go, what's different about you? You have struggles just like I do, but you've got a peace I don't have. You and your wife, you guys argue just like we do, but you guys get over it quicker than we do. What's the problem there? What's going on? What am I doing wrong? You guys go somewhere every Sunday morning. What is that? And in that moment, you're going to have a chance to talk. And you're going to get so nervous because you're going to feel the full weight of their salvation pulled down upon you. And you're going to think, what do I say? And every sermon Cam's ever taught is going to come to your mind. And you're going to say it's got something to do with like lions. I'm not real sure. And then you're going to say, well, I don't know. It's something about, you know, we've got the Adam and Eve and then the four horsemen of the apocalypse and the burning like a sulfur. And there's Frodo and the Lord of the Rings. I don't know. Before you freak out, okay? Let me tell you what you do. You pray this dangerous prayer. Lead me to share my story. Just share my story. Because people are more interested in the story of your faith than they are in the facts of your faith. Here's how I know that. People just want to know what you were like before and how you're different now. In fact, take a look at what Paul tells us in this verse in Corinthians. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. And look at this progression. Old is gone, new has come. This is your story. Here's who I was. Here's who I am. It's a little bit like when somebody comes up to you and says, hey, I want you to try this new diet I'm on. Okay? And they start going into all the science of it, and Dr. Oz approves it, and everything, and you know, they saw and read. You're like, listen, I don't care. Tell me what you weighed. What do you weigh now? That's all I need to know. That's all I need to know. And when it comes to your story, people just need to know who you were and who you are now. Not that everything's perfect, not that you've figured it all out, but just this is who I was, and this is who I am. You know, we started doing that with Nick and Deanna. And then I had a chance to baptize both of them. We started doing that with Steve and Aaron. And I had a chance to baptize their entire family. And I can tell you, for a couple of introverts, praying a prayer of God lead us, it has taken us on the ride of our lives we would have never seen coming. Most of us, our dangerous prayers are just, God bless me, help me, protect me, help the bills get paid for, help the kids be safe. What if you got real courageous and prayed some dangerous prayers for those who don't even know there's a God that loves them? God might do something amazing, not just in their life, but in yours as well. This whole series has been about asking you to take a risk and start praying some dangerous prayers. Search me, test me, God, and lead me, God. And every time I think about taking a risk, I think about my youngest daughter, Sydney, who for years was really scared of roller coasters, but yet still loved to go to theme parks. And we'd ride kind of the kiddie rides, and she loved, but then my older daughter, she really wanted to ride some of the bigger rides. And so I remember being at Disneyland one time, and we went over to California Screamin', which is a pretty intense roller coaster. And it goes up really high and down really low, and then it goes around and everything, and we get over there. And my oldest daughter wants to go, I want to go, my wife wants to go, but our youngest daughter, Sydney, she ain't having it. And she looks at that thing and she goes, oh, I'm not doing that. But here's the thing you have to remember. In our family, we have this rule, and that is everybody rides. It's not a biblical rule, okay? But it is very spiritual. And I said to her, listen, Sid, you're going to ride this ride. No, Dad, I don't want to ride this ride. I said, you're going to ride this ride, and I want to tell you why, because you're going to love it. And then you're going to want to ride it again. No, there's no way. I've seen that thing. It goes upside down. I'm not going. I said, Sid, you are tall enough, you are old enough, and we're all riding this ride. And we got in line, and she starts to cry. And I just ignored it, just looked away. My wife was like, nope, don't even talk to me. We're riding this ride. People are starting to look, you know, and call social services. You know, we're moving on. We get up there to the ride itself, and she's really crying, you know, and like all the people that work at Disney, which are cast members, I think is what we call them, and they come over, are you sure? Yep, she's riding. And so I just knew this was going to be a great moment, and so I'm sorry. I took a picture as the before, and here it is. Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay. She and I just knew. I said, honey, I'm going to take your picture so you can see it later, but it's going to be great. And so we get on this ride. I don't want to go on the ride. So you're going to be fine, all right? And so we get on the ride, and the ride starts taking off. And it starts going up, you know, and you hear, no, hold my hand, it's going to be fine. You know, so we get up to the top of the ride, and then, whoo, you know, it goes down, and we're all over the place and all over that. And I don't hear any crying. And I look over, and it's just these big eyes and big smile on her face and hair blowing, you know. And we get done with the ride. Here's the after. That's right. Because she had the time of her life. And you know what she said? Can we ride it again? I said, you better believe it. We rode it again. Then she said, can we ride it again? I said, okay. We rode it again. Then she said, can we ride it again? I said, Dad's over 40. All right, so that's as much as I can do right there. Can I just tell you this when it comes to these dangerous prayers? It may scare you. You may think, I'm not so sure, but you're in for the ride of your life, and you won't regret it. For those of you that are far from God and you think, I'm not sure if I even believe in a God, can I just tell you? Ask Him. You'll never regret it. For those of you that feel like you're close, but you're just not sure you're ready to take that step over, take the step. You'll never regret it. Because these dangerous prayers are where we find the abundant life that Jesus promised us. Let's pray together. God, thank you that you're a God that wants to take us on the adventure of our life. You want to show us what true living is all about. Take us out of our comfort zone, absolutely. Make us feel a little uncomfortable, absolutely. But the end result, God, is so good. So I pray for the courage of all those that are here right now, all those that are listening and watching at other campuses, and they'd be motivated to pray a lead me type of prayer. For all those who are just beginning to wonder about you and take steps towards you, that today might be a day they take a step to praying a dangerous prayer of, God, I give you my life, and seeing what amazing things you do. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.